Cool, can I get a mic check, please?
Mic check, this is Ian. How you doing? Thanks for having me. Do you need anything else?
You're so soft-spoken. Check, check, one, two, check, check. Usually I'm the one that's like really low.
You guys are good.
All right, ready to roll? All right, joining me on the podcast today is Ian Harvey. He's going to be performing at Punchline Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. But you've already been there for two nights,
yes,
right? How's it been going?
Amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah, we were just talking about how nice the crowds were and how sometimes crowds are rowdy. But one of the things we were talking about was just how nice they were. And I'm like,
really?
You get back whatever you put out. So
okay.
If you're an aggressive comic that's like, I want this, yeah, and this from you. You guys, that was funny. And you like assault them, then you're going to get a combative crowd. But I go up there and I'm like, hey, you know, just I'm a kind comic.
You're so nice. Well, that's good that you're not a dick, but sometimes it gets a good response if you're just a little crass up there.
Oh, I mean, you know what? Listen, I say dicky things, but... But I say it with such a tone that they can't hate me or be aggro about it.
Okay, fair enough. If you didn't get a chance to go see Ian Wednesday night or last night, you can still see him tonight, 7:30 and 9:45. And again, tomorrow night, tickets are available at punchlinecomedyclub.com. We were just talking about your badass looking shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You've got these cool Vans.
Caramel colored-ish.
That's a
mustard,
good description.
Caramel, I don't know.
Like almost like a Dijon mustard / rust color. Anyways, I have two questions for this. First of all, have you seen the Vans challenge that's going around on the internet where people are throwing their Vans and they say every time they throw them, they land soles down?
I did see this as a thing on the Facebook, but I did not know exactly what they were trying to achieve. I just saw people throwing them.
I don't know if it's a bunch of people throwing their Vans. Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a bunch of bullshit where people
were
just.
You want me to do it right now?
Let's do it.
Let's
I'm going to video
right
this.
And
I'm going to get. Don't throw them yet because we have to
but
get
let me
video.
Tell you where I got these. I was on set of filming the final Transparent finale, musical finale, and the costumer. I said, "What would happen if I, you know, left set with these mm-hmm. and they were not in my trailer when you got back to take the stuff?" And she said, I don't know. And so I literally just walked off set with them and then called her later and go, "Oh, I mistakenly walked off with my..."
Whoops.
Anyway, she was like, "Just keep them. I'll figure it out." Anyway, so I got them from Transparent.
All right, we're going to get more into you stealing shoes in a minute, but let's throw them and see how they land.
Let's see.
Oh, okay. No. One landed sole down. The other one's on its side.
Yeah.
So that whole thing is a bunch of bullshit. Vans do not always land
on
their soles. Okay,
fact.
Now we know. Do you want to leave your shoes off and just stay comfortable?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
All right, good.
Yeah.
So back to you stealing shoes. We actually talked about this on the show this morning because there was this list of things that celebrities have stolen from sets, like Chris Hemsworth stole Thor's hammer and he has it like in his bathroom or something.
Oh.
Jenna stole the hair clip from The Office that Pam would wear every day, and this whole long list. So is this the first thing you've ever stolen?
Yes, it is. This is the first thing ever. And I'm certainly not a big enough actor to be... Those guys are big enough to like take something and no one would even think twice. I'm such a small, you know, person on that scale that I don't know. I think I probably should be in deep trouble for this.
Hey, they were obviously for you because they're in your size.
Yeah. Well,
and who wants shoes that someone else has worn, right?
No. And you can't return them.
Yeah.
You can't return shoes. It's like underwear and shoes. Like they're the things that you can't, you know.
You can't
absolutely.
To Costco.
You can? Which item are
don't
you referring to?
Don't even get me
to?
Started on Costco. It's this whole thing. I have this obsession with Costco and you can return anything to Costco at any time.
Yeah, within a certain amount of time, right? So like
no.
You could wear that. No?
No, my dad. So I'm not condoning like doing that bullshit where you buy something and use it for 2 years and then return it. My dad paid like $400 for like a badass Christmas tree that had the lights worked into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And 3 years later, it wasn't working. Now, here's the reason.
Wait, this is just like L.L. Bean. I'm from New England, by the way. I'm from Maine and the home of L.L. Bean. And they have the same policy. You can wear the same boots for 40 years and bring them back and go, you know what? The eyelet on this boot is broken. And I don't know how it happened, but I need new boots. And they will just flat out give you new boots.
I am a big fan of returning things only if it's justified. So, but the thing with that Christmas tree is like you use it once for 3 weeks a year. So if he had been using this Christmas tree for 3 years straight, then I'd be like, "Dad, you've used it for 1,000 days. Don't return it." But he actually took
Your dad sets up a Christmas tree for all year round?
No.
He's had it for 3 years.
Right. So he only used it for a month a year.
Okay.
That's my point. Is okay. If it was something that he had been using for 3 years straight, I would have called him an asshole for returning it.
Oh, right.
But because, anyways, my whole thing about returning stuff is that I'm all for it. So if I buy something that doesn't fit, I take it back and I return it. As long as it's still got the tags, it's unworn and it's resellable.
Right.
I don't take advantage. But are you someone, do you ever return things? Because people have stance one way or the other on returning things.
Yeah, but I get nervous. I'm a super nervous, Nelly. Like they're going to I'm ready to fight with them at the counter in case something happens. But I get super nervous. I already am paranoid that I'm in the wrong before I ever go up there. I actually bought this picture at TJ Maxx in their art section. They have some pretty
best cute, art section
cute
ever
stuff up there. So I'm there with my girlfriend. We buy this thing and then we bring it home and it falls off the wall because the top frame just pulls off of the picture, shatters on the floor. So I bought it the day before. And the night we hung it up, that in the middle of the night, it crashed and broke. So I bring it back all shattered. Uh-huh. And they're like, how do we know that you got this here? And I'm like, well, here's the receipt and here's well, how do we know that it wasn't, you broke it? And I'm like, well, I just got it yesterday. Anyway, they would not take it back.
Are you kidding me?
And it was so funny because I get on testosterone. I got to say that my temper is a little bit shorter.
Okay.
It didn't used to be this way. I used to be super nice. Like if I was at a restaurant and I ordered a salad and a meal and you forgot to bring me the salad, I'd be like, listen, it's probably me, not you. I probably forgot to tell you. I'm so sorry to bother you. But could I please get my salad? And now I'm like, where's my salad? That's it. I mean, it's so it's intense. So anyway, at the counter, the woman's, I had it in a bag. It's all shattered at TJ Maxx. They're not going to take it back. And the woman's like, well, what am I supposed to do with it? And I go, I know what you can do with it. And I was like, all just super mean. And and my girlfriend's standing there. What happens all the time if my girlfriend's standing there is she just starts laughing at me because she's embarrassed, but also how ridiculous I have become over this thing that cost $17 at TJ Maxx.
Well, you justifiable. That pisses me off when stores do that. Like, okay, I'm not a firm believer on the customer's always right because sometimes customers are assholes.
Mm.
But you need to weigh the situation. Are they going to ruin a customer's experience over a $17 picture frame when they know it was probably fucked up to begin with?
Yeah. But you know what? Had I let my girlfriend handle it, it would have been handled and we would have got our money back. But I'll tell you, I always watch her do things because she will do things and do it kind. I know I talk about what a kind comic I am, but really I learned so much from watching her do stuff like that. She's the master of listen, this is what happened. And if they say no, she'll just stand there and wait.
And give him puppy dog eyes.
Not even that. She just waits for a different answer.
Wow. She's got a master class in patience.
Yeah, she totally does. And she just expects that they're going to keep talking and they'll end up talking themselves out of it.
Fair enough.
So,
have you had any other rage moments from taking testosterone?
Oh, yeah. I was at McDonald's before they started serving breakfast all day. Do you remember before?
Was it 10 or 10:30?
I would like to credit myself with, it was 10:30.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I know that. Because I walked in there at 10:28 one time and they refused to make me an Egg McMuffin.
Oh.
And I was like, are you kidding me? They're like, yeah, it's 10:31. And I'm like, yeah, but I've been waiting in line since 10:28. And the girl reached into her pocket and pulled out her flip phone.
This is that long ago.
And no, it was just even they just started doing the breakfast all day
last
couple years, I would
she's
say.
Just living in 1990, okay.
But she flips open her phone and she's like, yeah, the clock on the wall don't work. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, so we're supposed to go by the clock in your pocket and not the one on the wall. And then she said yes, and then I gave her double gun sideways birds
the double middle finger.
And just, am I allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, fuck you. in this massive rage. And again, my girlfriend's standing there laughing at me. And then the girl behind the counter starts laughing at me. And I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm going to Jack in the Box.
They've had breakfast 24/7, right?
So I was So I definitely have learned to
tame it down a little bit.
Down.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can. I mean, it's got to be tough. But when it comes to McDonald's breakfast,
stuff. You know what? The big stuff. It's weird. I can manage that. But it's something about. I actually probably was anticipating a fight, so I made the fight happen.
Okay.
So it's 10:20, and I'm thinking in my head, oh, they better make me breakfast.
Right.
It's 10:20. They better make me. But
So. You get testosterone rage over McDonald's breakfast. I'm not gonna lie.
But I want to credit myself for them extending it to all day.
Okay, so you're the reason. So we can all thank you for that.
Yes,
I do
absolutely.
Appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
When I'm PMSing, That's me. If I walk up to the counter and then they don't give me my breakfast or they're out of hash browns or whatever bullshit, I'm like, double middle fingers. Listen, motherfucker.
Yeah,
I've never actually done that,
yeah.
But that's how enraged I get when I'm PMSing.
Well, because you were socialized a girl, so was I. We have that, like, we have that voice that's like, you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
We have that, like, corrective,
like a
you
Jiminy
better
Cricket.
Act right. Yes, I do. I have that on my shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, the girl voice, and I have the guy voice, and, you know, sort of go back and forth between, like, even if, like, if I'm sexualizing somebody, like, mm-hmm. if I see a pretty lady on the street, and the you know, the girl voice is like, don't objectify her, don't
yeah.
do it, don't do it, and then the guy is like, oh my God, just look at her ass!
Right?
Look at her ass! So, but the girl voice in me is the one that always makes me act right in
okay.
those moments. That
so
I,
you're saying that the girl voice in you is the better person?
It is. It definitely
I totally respect
definitely
that.
Is, without
awesome.
A doubt.
Talk to me a little bit about Will and Grace, because I'm pretty jealous. I saw you did a guest spot on Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah. It was so amazing.
So what happened in the episode? What was your role? What? Tell me all about it.
I was Bud the Baker, and I was... And it's like the assistant baker. And basically, Karen Walker comes in and insults everybody. She has to wait in line to have a MAGA cake made and for the president's birthday.
God.
And she gets refused on the baker's beliefs. And then she comes back with Grace, and Grace is fighting for her right to have a cake made.
Okay.
And so Karen goes through and sees somebody in a wheelchair in the cafe bakery, and insults the person in the wheelchair. And then Karen insults the Latina woman in line that's behind her. And then I step up and say something, and and they're like, hey, you know what, straight white guy, stay out of this. And I'm like, I'm trans. And they're like, did not know that.
Right.
And it was funny because I have to say, like, I thought of a line that I want. Karen Walker's character went after everybody, but didn't go after the trans person. And I remember I said to Megan Mullally in the makeup trailer, I said, hey, I have an idea for a line your character to go after me. And she's like, okay, what is it? And in order to suggest something, you don't go to the top. You don't go to the writer's room and go, hey, I got an idea, especially in my position.
Sure, sure.
And so I just kind of pitched the idea to Megan. And she's like, oh my God, I love it. Which was basically, oh yeah, see you in the ladies' room to me.
Okay.
Because she had said to the person in the wheelchair, thanks for the wide stalls, but we've heard enough out of you. And then, and then she went after the Latin woman and said something like, "We're gonna need a little bit more Ted Cruz from you." Then anyway, and then she went after them, and then I wanted her to like go after me, but she didn't, and her character didn't, and I didn't know why. But anyway, so it was the line for her would have been, okay, whatever, see you in the ladies' room. And uh-huh. I just thought that would have been
written.
She was like,
perfect.
Oh my God, I love it. So she ran it up the flagpole, but they had a million, you know, in those sitcoms, they just write
right.
a ton of funny lines for every scene, and they try them out in the live show. But what was great was that Grace, when I said I'm trans, she said, did not know that. She's like, and that what was great was they had a new line that I was not expecting, which is a great thing to happen in a sitcom because you have a true response
yeah.
as an actor to that new line. And she said, I think the exact quote was, okay, I didn't know that, but whatever, she said, quit coasting. Which, if you look at me, like, I'm just like a white guy.
You'd never know.
I am coasting.
Yeah.
I am coasting.
Yeah.
I have privilege.
Sure.
So, and I was like, holy, what? And so my reaction to that was a very pure reaction, which I loved. Anyway.
That's awesome.
But it was a great experience. I think when I first went into the table read, I was super nervous. Mm-hmm. I only had a couple lines, but I was super nervous. I mean, this is, in my mind, my personal, like, one of the funniest shows of our time.
Yeah.
And I walked in and Sean Hayes was like, hey, how are you? And I sat down at this big table and read with everybody, and he was like, can I get you anything? You want some coffee?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was like,
these are big stars.
The nicest people on the planet. Absolutely.
So I have this dream of like being in a room with Megan Mullally and Nick Offerman and just watching them interact. Did he come around set at all?
He did. He came for the live taping.
Yeah.
And They're exactly what you think.
Yeah.
They are. Yeah. They're just, you would want to be a, you know, fly
they're
on
like
their wall.
They're like the baddest couple.
Yeah.
Ever.
They are.
Because
they're incredible.
It's like this chemistry that I've never seen. I mean, you see them, they're doing TV commercials right now, and you see this chemistry on a TV commercial. Yeah, like you said, that's probably exactly how it is in real life.
Yeah,
they're just
yeah.
both funny, very, very dark sense of humor in a way, sarcasm. And so, yeah, that's pretty cool that you got to spend so much time doing that show. And
well, and it made me want to, like, I would kill to be, and I'm like every actor in LA would, mm-hmm. but kill to be on a sitcom with a troupe like that every week. They're just so incredible.
Are you working on any other projects right now?
I am. I have, I'm out pitching a sitcom, actually, what inspired me to... being on that show and this other show called Young and Hungry, which was actually based on have you heard of that show? It was a sitcom. It did 5 seasons.
Young and Hungry?
Young and Hungry.
I haven't
Hungry,
heard of that one yet.
And it was based on a chef and a cook from San Francisco named Gabby Moskowitz, who has a bunch of cookbooks out. And how she moved to San Francisco and wanted to be like a professional chef for somebody and or open a restaurant. And anyway, but it was a sitcom. So I did that. And then I did Will and Grace. And I was like, I am jonesing for this. So I wrote up a pitch and I have a writing partner and we've been out pitching that. I'll tell you this. So I just had an audition for Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh.
And I had a call back and auditioned with Larry.
Okay.
Which was awesome.
Huge.
And then, yeah. And then I just got another call and said, what are your available dates? Now, let me just tell you, in showbiz, that either means you got the job, which they didn't say exactly, mm-hmm. but what's your available dates is like, okay, that's the next step in the process. And then the next step is usually they send you an offer. So that's what I'm waiting on right at this moment.
Oh,
so,
you're super excited. I can see your face.
I'm super excited. Well, I was super excited to audition with Larry because it was all improv.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically got to go into a room about this size with like 8 producers and, you know, writers and him and improv and just have an argument with Larry. And so,
it's like a dream.
Yeah.
Big things happening for you.
Well, I don't know if they're big, but
they're big.
But
don't play it
steps.
Down.
They're all steps. Yeah. You know, there's steps. And people always think that there's going to be this one event that's going to like make you or whatever. No, there's going to be, you hope that there's lots of things that you get to do along the way. And there's never this one thing that you, because you have to be constantly like tempering your excitement. Be excited, but like make sure it doesn't get too big that you think that this is the thing that's gonna, mm-hmm. you know, pop your career into some other, you know,
atmosphere.
Please edit out me going.
You got it.
Hell no, we're leaving all of that in. Yeah, authenticity.
Yeah. some other atmosphere.
I totally get it. Well, so, I'm excited for you. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun, right?
I'm having a blast.
Are you looking forward to tonight, Punchline Comedy Club?
Yes, absolutely. 7:30 and 9:45. Come on by. And you know what? Come for the laughs, but I give great bear hugs after shows.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
That's why people, you know, are so nice afterwards.
Because they know they're going to get a bear hug from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Ian Harvey, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
Can't
you
wait
so
for
much.
Your show this weekend. You are fantastic.
Thank you.
All right.